Welcome to the online ministry of La Jolla United Methodist Church, a congregation of faithful Christians right along the Southern California coast. Together, we seek to grow in our individual spirituality and in connected community with one another. All are invited to join in this vibrant faith community. For more information, visit our website at lajollaunitedmethodist.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
Thus begins the reading. All the tax collectors and sinners were gathered around Jesus to listen to him. The Pharisees and legal experts were grumbling, saying, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Jesus told them this parable. A certain man had two sons. The younger son said to his father, "Father, give me my share of the inheritance." Then the father divided his estate between them. Soon afterward, the younger son gathered everything together and took a trip to a land far away. There he wasted his wealth through extravagant living. When he had used up his resources, a severe food shortage arose in that country, and he began to be in need. He hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. He longed to eat his fill from what the pigs ate, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired hands have more than enough food, but I'm starving to death? I will get up and go to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son. Take me on as one of your hired hands.'" So he got up and went to his father. While he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was moved with compassion. His father ran to him, hugged him, and kissed him. Then his son said, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son." But the father said to his servants, "Quickly, bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Fetch the fatted calf and slaughter it. We must celebrate with feasting because this son of mine was dead and has come back to life. He was lost and is found." And they began to celebrate. Now his older son was in the field. Coming in from the field, he approached the house and heard music and dancing. He called one of the servants and asked what was going on. The servant replied, "Your brother has arrived, and your father has slaughtered the fatted calf because he received his son back safe and sound." Then the older son was furious and didn't want to enter in, but his father came out and begged him. He answered his father, "Look, I've served you all these years, and I never disobeyed your instruction. Yet you've never given me as much as a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours returned, after gobbling up your estate on prostitutes, you slaughtered the fatted calf for him." Then his father said, "Son, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.
In a world of scrolling likes and shares, the pressure to be trending is intense. Our feeds reflect that we often don't feel we're enough. And who we follow may just have more impact than we recognized. We may get it wrong sometimes, but thankfully, God gives us second chances. And amid our isolation, God invites us to something bigger than ourselves. It is in God's affirmation that we can boldly show the world who we are. What might happen if we allow Jesus to trend in our life? This Lenten season, you're invited to find out. Jesus Trending.
So Some sermons ask for deep personal reflection and introspection. Some sermons ask for a lot of intentional and directed study. This sermon asked for distortion pedals. This sermon asked for reverb and delay. This sermon asked for a video with some creepy images and strangers in a crowd. Today's message includes a song. And not just any song, it's a song that's born out of this parable. It's a song that follows time spent with this parable with God in prayer and, if I'm being really honest, with some messy emotions. It's not subtle. It's not smooth. It's gritty. And to be honest with you, it might be, probably is. It's intended to be offensive to the ear. It's loud. It's really loud. And yes, it was written by your pastor. It's a song that was written back in 2006 and re-recorded and rearranged during my three-month renewal leave. Now, I want to be clear, the intent for sermons coming from this pastor in this place, the intent is for them not to be overly personal. The intent is to not have too many phrases or sentences that start with I. I mean, all right, sometimes. And I know I've gotten some feedback that sometimes I start with that word too much. And so, the intent today, out of respect, out of gratitude for that feedback, there's intention today to make sure this introduction contains as few I statements as possible. I mean, they may be back later. That said, you're invited. You're invited. You're invited into this message. You're invited into this parable. You're invited into this story. And to be clear, it's more than just this week's title. Now, this might sound like, because we've been talking about social media, it might sound like, you know, you get a friend request or a follow request. You might get a Discord invite. You might get invited to a group text chat. But it's more than that, because it's not just about clicking accept on a page or in a group chat. It's the kind of invitation that undoes you and then reclaims you. It's what Jesus says when we're not expecting it. It's what grace says when it crashes into our carefully ordered lives. It's what today's parable says to the rebellious, the resentful, the religious, the non-religious, the nominally religious, and the already worn out. Tell you that this message today comes from a vulnerable place. Not because it's me, not only because it's me, but because I believe that the parable Jesus tells is meant to provoke us. It's meant to make us squirm a little bit in our seats. And will almost certainly offend our sense of fairness. So yes, today's message will absolutely, undeniably sound different And if that's uncomfortable, friends, that's often where grace begins. Now, as Sal said, as he read our text for today, the story of the prodigal son is one of the most familiar in sacred text. If you say to someone who's never been in a church in their life, if you talk about the story of the prodigal son, chances are that person's going to know exactly what you're talking about. The problem with a story being that familiar is sometimes we think we know everything there is to know about it. But I would suggest, friends, that this is not just a sweet story of reconciliation. This story is theologically offensive. To the listeners hearing Jesus' parable, almost every moment of the story is offensive to the ear. It's disorienting. And it's told to provoke rather than comfort. And if we listen, if we pay attention, it still does. A younger son asks for his inheritance early. And I can't figure out which is worse. Is he wishing his father was already dead, or is he saying, "You're dead to me"? It's offensive. He leaves home, he squanders everything, and he ends up feeding pigs, remembering that in Jewish culture, pigs are unclean. He's not just at rock bottom. This is humiliating. He's not just lost. Friends, he's wallowing in shame. Meanwhile, the older brother stays. The older brother stays. He works the land. He does everything right. He does it all right. So who is this man? Who is this father to run out of the house? A man of his wealth, a man of his status, behaving this way? Does this returning, unclean vagrant deserve such an inappropriate response? When the father throws a party for his son's return, the older brother isn't even invited. And when he finds out about it by coming in from toiling all day in the fields, he, in ways that we might absolutely understand, he can't even bring himself to join. Because grace isn't just unfair, it's infuriating. It's offensive. Because the older brother's been keeping score. And as a friend of mine says, nothing kills grace faster than a scoreboard. Grace breaks the rules of how we think the world should work. Daniel Defenbaugh writes, "The economy of such love and grace surprises, even offends us in its extravagance. While the ways of the world suggest that, yes, the son might be welcomed home, but reasonably so, on a ration of bread and water in answer to his deplorable sin, the economy of God is such that rejoicing for the return of a child is simply not enough. Joy must be made all the more complete by abundance. The best robe, the finest ring, the fatted calf." That kind of grace will either move you to joy or it'll stop you in your tracks. And just maybe it still does. Maybe it will. I want you to know this is a favorite parable of mine, and I've sat with this story for a long time. And in that time, I've really wrestled with the idea of what it means to be lost and then to be found in a way that doesn't feel fair. And it is that wrestling that gave birth to this song. Now, I will tell you, it started simply. It started just with an acoustic guitar meant to be sung around a campfire. But that didn't fit the story. That didn't fit the theology of this parable because it was too comfortable. It was too safe. And so with the help of Cam, I reworked it. I slowed it down. I slowed down the tempo. I distorted the sound. I made it harsh on purpose. Because this isn't a story about sweet grace. It's a story about scandalous grace. The words, which you'll see projected on the screen in a moment, the lyrics trace the voice of someone who's been running, drifting, wallowing. Someone who slowly realizes that they are not the only one who's searching. And then the chorus becomes a confession. One line says, I fall into this grace, almost as though it's an accident, unintended, a surprise, a surrender. They've been searching for me. You're invited to listen, not for comfort. You're invited to listen for disruption. Let the story come off of these sacred pages and stretch your spirit. Let the sound carry you to that moment when the father runs, when the party starts, when you don't know if you're going to join the party or if you're going to walk away.
Something, but I don't know what. I've been looking for someone, it seems I forgot. I feel lost. I'm lost in searching. I've been heading somewhere, but I've lost my way. I'm so tired of searching, I just fade away. I feel lost. I'm lost in searching. But it seems I'm not the only one who's searching. There's someone out there calling out my name. I've fallen to this grace. There's love in every face. He's been searching for me. My own mind keeps me locked in place. I'm starting to wonder if I'll finish this race. I feel lost. I'm lost in searching. But it seems I'm not the only one who's searching. There's someone out there calling out my name. I've fallen to this grace. There's love in every face. She's been searching for me. I've
I've been looking for something, but I'm not done yet. I've been looking for someone, now I won't forget. I was lost. I was lost and searching.
But it seems I'm not the only one who's searching. There's someone out there calling out my name. I've fallen to disgrace. There's love in every face. They've been searching for me.
I wonder if for you this song sounds like the noise you might hear at a neighbor's party when the police have been called but they haven't shown up yet. Nobody at the party knows. And even if the music today was different than the music of the party in the parable, I wonder if that's kind of how the older brother heard it. Because this parable tells us that grace is a party. Not the kind of party that's a prize for good behavior, because we're not keeping score. It's the kind of party that's a celebration of return. It's a recognition of reconciliation. Rodney Clapp writes, "Behind Jesus' parable lies profound and overwhelming truth about God and God's kingdom. We humans, we all were lost, mired in sins of sensuality and greed and self-referential resentment, hip deep in the pig slop of envy. Before we knew it, God reached out in the people Israel and then in the life and death and resurrection of Jesus. God raised us up and called us home. It's not just about you or me or my sin or your sin or my deserts or your deserts. It's about God and God's life-giving love and mercy. Every time God's active, stretching, searching, healing love finds someone and calls that person back home, it does not mean there is less for the rest of us. It means there's more. More wine, more feasting, more music, more dancing. It means another and now a bigger party." But not everybody hears that music as good news. Some of us are still standing outside the party. The parable doesn't tie everything up in a neat little bow. It ends with an open door and an invitation, an unanswered question. The father pleads with the older son. He pleads with the older son with the same effort and emotion that he raised out to greet the younger son. And we too, friends, we too are left with a choice. To stay outside in resentment or to join the celebration. Leslie Hoppe writes, "The reconciliation between the father and the younger son did not occur because of what the son did, but because of what the father did. At the end of the parable, the only person who stood outside the circle of reconciliation was the elder son. The father chose to absorb the shame heaped on him by the older brother, just as he did for the younger brother. He willingly adopted the stance of pleading with his elder son, a major humiliation for a father from the patriarchal culture of early Judaism." The father's reconciliation with the younger son didn't happen because the son earned it. It happened because the father's love made it possible. So as I said, the parable doesn't end with closure. It doesn't wrap up in a nice little bow. It ends with a question. The younger son's inside. The party's underway. The father is still standing outside, and the older son hasn't even answered the question. Maybe we haven't either. Maybe we haven't either. Maybe we're still wallowing in shame. Maybe we're still holding on to resentment. Maybe we're still waiting for someone to say just the right, exact, precise thing. Maybe we're watching grace be given to someone who we don't think deserves it. Or maybe we're still out in the field, our arms folded, hoping that somebody notices how long we've been faithful. Here's the thing. You are never not loved. You are never not loved. The party's still happening. The music hasn't stopped. The door is still open. And somewhere in all of it, a voice is calling out your name. Your name. And that's the scandal of the story. That's the reason for the distortion. That's the grace that goes searching for you. You're invited. Not just to hit the accept button, not to like, to comment, to share, but to come home, to fall into grace, and to join the party. You may not be ready, you may not feel worthy, but you're invited.